Another couple of housekeeping announcements. I should have mentioned for the speakers that I will stand up at 12 minutes, and then, you know, as was said in other presentations I've been in, I'll come in and press the escape button at 15 minutes so we can stay on schedule. And for the audience, I would ask that we do the questions immediately after the presentation and then just hold your applause till the end as we just did with the first speaker. So thank you. Next up is Alexander Rocatelli. I just skipped the hard name. Producing sorghum biomass under different irrigation and tillage systems for cellulosic bioenergy production in the southeastern U.S.
Hi, everybody. My name is Alexandre Rocatelli. Today, I'm going to present the research that I was developing in Auburn when doing my master's program that was named Producing Sorghum Biomass Under Different Irrigation and Tillage System for Cellulosic Bioenergy Production in Southeastern U.S. As an introduction, I just want to start talking about the fossil fuels issues that we have in the United States. Everybody knows that the United States depended on other countries to supply soil demand, which results in problems such as economic and political issues. However, biofuels may be the solution to the problem because biofuels can replace oil and give to this country security of energy supply because it's renewable and it can be produced into the United States, and also is environmentally improved because we can diminish climate change. But how we are going to increase this biomass, this biofuel production, may result in other problems such as negative effects on living conditions by land competition, changes in local environment, and also implications for food market because the yield that's being used to produce food may be redirected to produce fuel. So our suggestion is to use cellulosic material as the feedstock, where the crop residues can be used to produce fuel, and for example, the grains can continue to be used to produce food. So in this panorama, I present to you sorghum as an alternative. I can see some advantages of sorghum. High biomass potentials, well-established seed industry, drought-tolerant, nematode-resistant, reduced nitrogen use, can be rotated with other drought-resistant crops such as cotton, and is flexible because sorghum is an annual crop, and year by year the farm can have the option to continue or not with sorghum according to the market. So in this context, I present to you a research where the objectives was, first, determine the effect of tillage and irrigation on sorghum and corn biomass production, and second, evaluate sorghum and corn biomass quantity and quality for potassium biofuel production. Our research was settled in Eve Smith Research Center Field Crops close to Shorter City in Alabama. Our soil was a Marvi loam sand, previously cropped with cotton for 8 years in a conservation tillage. As cultural practice, I just want to state that the rye was cropped as winter cover crop just for conservation plots. Sorghum and corn planted in spring, and about fertilization, nitrogen was heavily applied, 180 kilograms per hectare. Our experimental design was a strip split plot design where we have three different factors: irrigation, crops, and tillage. Irrigation, irrigated fields, basically 1 inch of water applied weekly, that is the rule of thumb in Alabama to produce corn. And non-irrigated fields, basically rain-fed. When you talk about tillage, we have conservation tillage that it was in row subsoil 35 to 40 centimeters deep, and conventional tillage, total disked area 15 centimeters deep. Now I would like to describe the crops that we evaluated a little better. We evaluated three different sorghum plants and one corn. The first sorghum that I want to present is the NK300 grain sorghum. As you can see, they are relatively small plants that has a good production of cellulosic biomass and also grains, and is considered drought tolerant to drought, moderate resistant to drought. The second one, Sucra sorghum 506, as you can see, they are tall plants, high production of cellulosic biomass, and we don't expect grains from this crop. And finally, the 99 photoperiod sensitive sorghum. As the name says, this is a photoperiod sensitive plant. These plants just start to flower, stop vegetating when the days get smaller than 12 hours and 20 minutes. And in our conditions, Alabama, we assume that we never is going to reach such a small day. Therefore, this plant may vegetate more in field and produce more biomass than the other. That's our assumption. And also corn plant, just for comparison, because corn is the closest plant to sorghum that's commonly cropped in the region. The corn that we introduced was the Pioneer 31G65. That's a forage corn, has good production of grains and also good production of biomass. So the data that we collected basically was above ground dry matter and also fiber content or biomass quality, cellulose, hemicellulose, lignin, and also ash content. So let's start to talk about our results. The first one that I want to talk to you is above ground dry matter. In irrigation plots in both years, we found that irrigated plots had higher biomass yield than no irrigated plot, as you can see. But when you talk about tillage, we can see that no significant differences were found in 2008. But in 2009, you can see that conservation tillage in green show high above ground dry matter production than conventional tillage in red. High precipitation may be the key to explain that. Conservation plots could offer a better drainage of excessive water in that season and give better opportunity for plant growth. Now let's talk about crops just in 2008. You can see that I collect data and I present in three different periods, 14, 18, and 24 weeks after planting. 14 weeks after plant, you can see in light green that the forage sorghum showed high production then photoprosensitive sorghum in dark green, followed by corn in yellow, grain sorghum in yellow and corn in red. But when you move for 18 weeks after plant, you can see that the photoprosensitive sorghum overcome the forage sorghum, and in 24 weeks after plant, this difference becomes higher. So it proves our assumption that the photoprosensitive sorghum really can produce more biomass than the other crops, but we need longer periods for it to happen. We also found in 2008 some interactions between crops and irrigation, and I just want to point it out here that, well, if you look the solid bars, we see irrigated fields, and in the bars that has the black stripes is not irrigated. In 14 weeks after plant and 18 weeks after plant, the difference between forage sorghum and photoprosensitive sorghum was just related in irrigated fields. But when you move for 24 weeks after plant, those differences was for both irrigated and non-irrigated conditions. However, in 2009, we found a different trend. As you can see, it looks like that the biomass start to decrease over time. What happened was, this was a wet year and we have high incidence of anthracnose in field diseases. So this reduced leaf content in our biomass, giving these bad yields that I am showing to you. So now let's start to talk about the biomass quality, about the fibers content. The first one that I want to talk is holocellulose. That's basically hemicellulose and cellulose bind together. Holocellulose is important because the part of the biomass that can be converted to fuels, for example, ethanol. You can see that corn show higher holocellulose content in photoprosensitive sorghum, followed by forage sorghum and grain sorghum. But when you compare with the values that we found in the literature review for switchgrass, I'm showing switchgrass here because it's considered the model for biofuels production, for cellulose biofuels production. You can see that corn, photoprosensitive sorghum, and forage sorghum showed higher production, higher holocellulose content than switchgrass. And grain sorghum, same. Now, lignin. Lignin, we may say that is undesirable when you talk, for example, about ethanol production, because we cannot convert lignin to ethanol and also has a recalcitrant effect. In other words, it can trap the holocellulose, make it unavailable for the enzymes to convert it. you can see that the corn show the lowest lignin content, followed by grain sorghum, photoproduce-sensitive sorghum, and forage sorghum. Photoproduce-sensitive sorghum and forage sorghum was not significantly different from each other, but you can see that all evaluated crops show lower content than switchgrass. And finally, ash. High ash content is undesirable because when we have high ash content, we can have slagging, which decreases the efficiency of the conversion systems. You can see that the photoproduce-sensitive sorghum show lowest values than corn, followed by forage and grain sorghum. And you can see that it's pretty compatible with the quality that switchgrass can offer to us. Let's draw our conclusions now. Basically, sorghum could produce more dry matter than corn. In 2008, you have a higher biomass production for all crops than in 2009, and this, as I told to you, was related to diseases. So, sorghum can be a good option, but you should not ignore crop rotation. We found higher biomass productions in irrigated field for both years and in conservation plots for just in 2009. That was related with the capability of the soil in drainage excessive water. Holocellulose, lignin, and ash content showed significant difference but was considered minor. And in our opinion, the key factor is dry matter yield. And I would like to show this table to you that basically summarizes what I think that could be the recommendation for my research, where we should consider the time of harvest and also if you are irrigating or not. Thank you for your attention, and questions are welcome.
We have time for questions?
Yes, sir.
Yes, I got a question about the crop rotation. You said the previous crop for 2008 was cotton.
Right.
When you ran the experiment in 2009 again, was the previous crop also cotton? Or did you plant on strips that were sorghum the previous?
We plant in the same position all the plots. We repeated what we did in 2008, in 2009. So we have sorghum and sorghum again.
Okay.
Yes?
You tried with several different types of sorghum, forage sorghum, grain sorghum. They are either
okay, you are asking if we have difference in maturity among the sorghum plants.
You can compare the certain week, but sorghum maturity must be different, like sorghum for the sorghum.
Oh yes, the maturity time was different. Like the grain sorghum was maturing exactly in the second harvest, around, actually, we start to mature in 14 weeks after plant. The forage sorghum start to mature in 24 weeks after plant, and the photoproduce-sensitive sorghum, as I told, is still vegetating in field. So when you made the last harvest, it's still vegetating. The plant could grow more. The only problem we could found was lodging, because the plant got too high and start to lodge. Did it answer your question, sir? Okay.
We have time for another question.
The corn biomass yields that you reported, did that include grain or was that just the...
No, this is just cellulosic. It's just like the biomass. I am not showing here grain production.
Any other questions? I wondered if you could speculate a little bit for me. How you mentioned the impact of a wet year on the yields. That was pretty dramatic.
Right.
What's the climate change scenario predicted for this area of Alabama? Do you expect wetter years in the future, and how might that impact your recommendations?
I really don't know, because before we start to set the research, we were wondering, because we have a drought period for 2 or 3 years that reduced cotton yields and everything, and so we start with the sorghums exactly thinking about drought resistant. And so what happened is we have kind of good rain in 2008 and in 2009 excessive rains. So it's difficult to predict the weather, you know.
All right, thank you.
Thanks.